Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Hello. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Hour. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And Green Dude Scott.
Yay! That's a reason to cheer, isn't it?
Good morning, everybody.
Happy Saturday.
What's with the schmutz outside?
The schmutz, I know.
Some serious storms the other day?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah?
Last night, man.
Last night.
You know, it seems like so much water to you all, you guys, but I just came up from Texas, and I am so enjoying this water. I just hope it's not damaging for people. That's my worry. We did have the electricity go out over in Lake Arrowhead last night.
Well, anyway, welcome to another fun hour of Green Divas. What do we call it? Festivities? Frivolities? Anyway, I just want to mention our online media partners and other media partners that are helping us expand our Green Diva family. We've got care2.com, eatdrinkbetter.com, ecoseed.org, Green Revolution Radio out of Tucson, Arizona, feelgoodstyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio, that's gdreadradio.net. They rebroadcast the show every Sunday at 7 a.m. and Tuesday at 9 a.m. So if you miss anything, you can retune in there or iTunes or any of our wonderful places, including thegreendivas.com. Let me get that in there while I'm at it. Today we have a Green Diva correspondent from the Washington, D.C. area, Dr. Heather Eaves, who's ever busy. And one of the things she was looking at, and I think she's going to update us on last time we talked to her, was that bill that was going through Congress called No Child Left Inside.
Right. Well, which is huge. But, I mean, I don't see how Congress is going to kick our kids outside.
I know.
I
it's just
it's all
a
relative
feel good.
Depending on what neighborhood
it
you're
is.
In.
It's a feel good. Yeah. Okay. The parents got to kick the kids outside.
Yeah. They got to kick the debt ceiling and then deal with the kids. But, anyway, and our interview guest is going to be Jessica Arenella, who's the host and producer of What You Can Do television series.
Love it.
And this will be, I think, her third time on the show. She's really doing some wonderful work.
Great ideas in less than a minute in what you can do to change things.
Yeah. And I think we're going to talk about water conservation and or clean water issues, clean water, you know, making sure everybody does have access to clean water. And I'm not sure exactly which, but we'll find out.
Which what?
And then are you doing some eco-geek stuff for us today?
We're back at light bulbs today.
Oh, my God.
Something new has come out, and it made me laugh. And I just, you know, in the onslaught of green things... Did you see the thing?
I did. Did you see the little video you put? What was that called? I can't remember.
I hate green people.
If you go to our Facebook here, now it's time to Facebook plug. But if you, I just did a post this morning for this show. But a couple posts down is Scott's video thing that he found and posted about a little cartoon about I hate green people. It's pretty funny, but it's all about greenwashing. You know,
well, it's everybody wants to be green. You know, there's SUV
well, they
driving.
Want to appear
people say
green.
They're green. Yeah,
you want
sure.
to appear green.
Yeah, well, so do many industries.
Right, that's
yeah,
called
right.
greenwashing, dude. So anyway, it's a funny little video. It doesn't take long to watch.
Well, I hope that I'll be able to watch it on my new computer. I haven't been able to watch any of your videos and things that you've been sending because I didn't have sound on my computer.
That's
I've been
just
the poster
tragic.
Child for Mercury in retrograde. My phone went down. I got a new phone on Thursday, and I had to get a new computer on Friday.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody suffer so terribly technologically than my sister this week.
Well, self-imposed or?
No.
I mean, did you do the damage yourself?
No, I did not. No, it's just an old computer, and I was having trouble sending. I could get email in, then I couldn't send it out.
It was like one of those bad dreams where, like, you're trying to run down the hall, but the hall gets longer and the opposite course. And every time Lisa would do one thing, something else would go, and she just, like, she couldn't. It was really sad.
I spent 5 hours at the computer store
yesterday. Did you get a refurbished?
No, I actually got a new computer.
Maybe next time. I'll get it refurbished. That'll help offset.
I should have done that. I didn't even think of that. Scott, I should have called you.
I outed you. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I was so traumatized, I didn't even think of it.
Well, Now, Lisa, you're going to do a repurposing segment later?
Yes, I am. I've got a lot of interesting things we can do with the things we already have at home.
Yeah, she's good at that. She's a little repurposing.
Well, it's kind of like
diva.
The No Kids Left Inside. I mean, if the Congress continues to bury our economy, then we'll all be outside, so.
We better know how to repurpose the things we own.
That's right.
Reuse, baby. So I just also want to encourage folks to call us during the show. If you want to talk to us or any of our callers or guests, we'll make air space for you.
And if you miss anything or want to learn more about the things we talk about, you can check it out on our website, which is thegreendivas.com.
T-H-E, not duh. No, it's funny because for a minute I was like, it sounds like duh, the Green Divas.
Yeah. Thegreendivas.com.
Yeah. No, it wasn't actually just the way I
And heard. You can check us out on Facebook at Green Divas Radio Show.
And the phone number to call us, because, you know, you want to call. You know you want to call, is 973-267-9687.
Again, because I didn't write that down. You said that so quickly.
Did I?
And those fish oil people, you have to repeat it three times.
973-267-9687. The fish oil. Oh, that's the one of the shows that's
on
before.
And you can check out that phone number. We'll post that phone number.
It is already. It's on our Facebook page, people.
On our Facebook page and on our website.
So.
Let's get to it.
Is your little girl off to school?
Not yet.
Soon,
next
though, right?
week. Next week, we're packing the kid up and sending her to college.
You changing your address and phone number really quick? Or
Meg is going to be an empty nester and have her second grandchild all around the same time.
That's actually very good planning. Very good for you.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
I can get my little kid baby fixed, but in a real mild kind of grandma kind of way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be fully responsible. I can just have fun.
That's what it's about. You get to spoil them rotten.
And then send them back.
Now, I just want to mention that we're still doing this G2 Organics giveaway, and it's open until we hit 3,000. That's what the girl said. That's what our friend Cherie of G2 Organics said. So, and we have had people chiming in all week saying, mentioning G2 Organics.
Don't wait and try to be 3,000, because it's not.
It's not about who's 3,000. We're going to pick. We're going to have a
pick it out
random
of a hat.
Pick. We'll do it during the show. So, you know, we'll have witnesses. And
so the way to do that is to go on our Facebook page, mention G2 Organics, and like us.
Yeah, we need the love. And we're willing to buy it.
We got lots of love.
We're willing to buy it with G2 Organic products. So to find out about G2 Organic products, which are luscious and wonderful, go to g2organics.com, and it'll make you want to love us even more.
Yes.
All right. I think Heather's on the line. Our Dr. Heather. Green Diva Dr. Heather, you're on the air.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm just great, thanks.
I heard a pause. What is it?
I'm great. I'm actually great.
Chimed in early this morning. I'm just really quick going to tell my story about the bear that woke me up at 4 a.m.
You got my message, did you?
I did.
Right. Did you get mine?
I did.
The frowny face.
Anyway, so Dr. Heather is going to find Green Diva Meg a secure, and we thought we had a really secure garbage, but I guess my chicken Marbella was just too much, and the bear had to have it. And it was a mama, big mama bear and a baby, wreaking havoc in my yard.
Anyway. Yeah, well, the weather's been tough this year, and the food sources are limited, and you know how it goes.
Well, you had mentioned an interesting statistic that I would ask you to mention again, if you remember what you wrote to me.
I do. It's one I shared with National Geographic not too long ago, where they've basically tracked shipping lines and airline routes, and what they figured out on our lovely little planet is that there's only about 10% of our planet remaining that is inaccessible to an urban area within 48 hours.
Wow.
So that means wildlife trade or any kind of trade in natural resource products takes place very quickly, very easily, and there are very few places on this earth where wildlife can
escape.
Exist.
Yeah, without us.
So we either coexist or we don't.
Well, we know that all us humans tread lightly on this planet and don't cause any damage, so it should be okay. Sarcasm, sarcasm.
Yeah.
Sarcasm. That is correct.
So now, were you going to tell us a little bit about anything going on, if there is anything going on with No Child Left Inside?
Yes, there's actually, what's exciting is that this bill was actually introduced in a previous Congress and was referred to committee and did not go anywhere. This has been reintroduced last month, just around the time when we were talking about it. It's now labeled as S-1372, so it's been reintroduced into the Senate by Senator John Reed from Rhode Island. It's called No Child Left Inside Act of 2011, and excuse me, it's not really about getting the parents outside, getting the parents to get the kids outside, which I highly encourage. It's a bill to amend the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965.
Wow!
To try to improve teachers' access to and training in and resources for environmental education.
Okay, so getting more environmental eco information into the curriculum.
That's correct. That's correct. Which I, you know, I certainly work in my local schools with that. I'm a trained Project Wild instructor as well as trainer.
Wow.
Which is a wonderful environmental wildlife education program that any teacher in any state in this country can have access to. They just have to go to their local fish and wildlife agency and ask for the Project Wild coordinator. And they can get training over a weekend, and they get the materials that they can use to incorporate wildlife lessons and natural resources lessons into their regular class assignments and teaching.
So the school system gives you time in the curriculum for that?
Yes. What Project Wild has done, Project Wild's been around for a couple of decades, and it's really a wonderful educational program for elementary and secondary school teachers throughout the United States and other countries as well, that they have a set of resource guides that really they've modified in each state so that they actually go according to whatever the standards of learning are in each state for all of that testing that happens,
right,
as we know.
Right.
And so in Virginia, for example, where we are just outside D.C., they have modified the curriculum of this training program so that it goes along with the things that the children are supposed to be learning,
right,
for these basic skills that they're supposed to be learning and basic knowledge. So any teacher in America can have access to these resources. It's free. All they have to do is devote the time over a weekend to get trained. And then I do trainings myself of teachers, and I actually give lessons in schools.
Wow. So you're just beyond busy. That's really nice, and I know that there are other programs around it that do similar, like the Cloud Institute, for instance, in,
mm-hmm,
New York, I know does some education for educators,
mm-hmm,
it's similar. I don't know if it's exactly the same,
the No Child Left Inside Act, the purpose of that is really to formalize, because you know how busy our teachers are. They, bless their hearts, they work themselves really, really hard to educate kids.
Yeah.
And there's only so many weekends that they have to give up to free trainings. But if it becomes part of their own training as they're in school, but also in-service training opportunities, and it becomes part of a required curriculum, that changes everything for them. And so that's why this No Child Left Inside Act of 2011, which has been reintroduced, and I believe Frank Lautenberg from New Jersey is,
yeah,
a co-sponsor of the bill.
Go, Frank.
And you can find out more about it either on govtrack.us, or you can actually make comments to your senator on a new website called popvox, popvox.com. You search for the bill, S-1372, and you'll find a place where you can actually make a comment that will go directly to your senator.
Wow.
That's great. I like it when they make it easy.
I'm furiously writing all that down, and I just want to remind folks that we will post all that information on our website.
I'll send you everything, and so everybody's got it, and there's already one comment there, and I encourage folks to do whatever they can. Parents as well, if they're very interested in this issue and they want to get involved, it Parents are able to go and get trained as Project Wild trainers before this bill becomes a law, which we hope it does. And you can go into any school and offer your services to teach lessons, and I can assure you the kids and the teachers love it.
Wow. Well,
I'm sure they do.
Thank you for being such a wonderful educator yourself and for sharing this information with us this week. We will talk to you again in a few weeks.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Heather.
Thank you, Heather.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you. 70-mile ride tomorrow, Scotty.
You go, girl.
Enjoy it. Have fun.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
We're going to go on a break right now. We'll be right back with lots more, so please stay tuned.
Are you a foodie or eco-fashionista, or just curious about matters relating to sustainable food and eco-style? Important Media has some of the best blogs on the internet for practical and easy-to-use information from some of the most experienced green bloggers on the internet. Join the Green Divas on two of our favorites, eatdrinkbetter.com and feelgoodstyle.com, and learn and share more about easy green living. Find out about all the Important Media blogs at importantmedia.org.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Want to have a Green Diva face? Find out about natural facial care in just a moment. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com. I've tested a lot of facial and skincare products, and I'm like a canary in a coal mine. Sometimes they say organic, but if it isn't really clean, my skin will let me know quickly, and it isn't pretty. Here are a couple of facial products and ideas that have worked well for this super sensitive green diva. Make your own facial wash. It is so simple to make a nice face wash out of essential oils. Go to thegreendivas.com to find out my favorite recipe for lavender face wash. Lily Organics is my favorite moisturizing cream. Really clean. Really works. Visit Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, to get ratings on all your favorite facial and skincare products.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
A retired U.S. president.
Hello.
Snapping your fingers.
Welcome back.
That is such a diva move, I saw.
Because Lisa's over there yakking away, and I'm like, we're going back on the air, people.
We're talking about all the stuff, all the information.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. Thank you for tuning in. We've got lots of fun things going on.
Well, that's what we were talking about. I mean, there was so much chatter before we came back on. You probably heard it. We're just talking about the amazing amount of information that's just flooding out of everybody wanting to be green and green things going on.
Yeah. Yes,
and that's what we're here for. We're here to try to, you know, read up and share things and make it easy for you to do things yourself.
I think of us as pretty average people, although we're very special in many ways.
As in the short bus?
Yeah. And, you know, we're very average in so many ways. And
I'm not.
Okay, here we go. But you know what I mean? Like, if we're not extraordinarily earthy, crunchy, living off the grid people.
Hairy legs?
You know, right. We don't have hairy legs. You might don't. And so I'd like to think we'll be able to find a kind of easier, softer way to participate in being green, right? You? Okay. Huh? You're up, girl.
All right. Well, I've got some ideas and things that we can do ourselves. I take pride in searching out ways to repurpose the things that we already have at home or things that are one of the repurposing things that I read about this week was in newscience.com, from the newscience.com website, and it was all about repurposing our remains. And there is a way to encapsulate our remains in cement, and they're using these cement balls to put them into the ocean where the coral reefs are, to help build them up again.
Yeah.
So it encourages wildlife sea wildlife to come back, and it helps coral grow more. So it's actually a good way to find a space to put our remains. And
I've been seeing a lot about that, and you looked into it. I didn't understand what it was.
They've been doing that for years, though.
I love it.
You mess with the mob, you know.
Oh.
get your cement boots, right. Oh. Well, this is a little bit different. You have to get cremated first, and then they'll encapsulate. And you can do very interesting things. You can customize these little balls and decorate them and whatever the family wants to do. And just like
What name of it? Is it Green Reefs or what is it called? Do you remember? I know it was on your computer, which died yesterday. So she's got notes there.
I am so overwhelmed with new information from the things that I'm doing. But
Well,
Eternal Reefs.
Eternal Reefs. I knew it had something.
Sorry about the delay. It was Eternal Reefs. It's based in Decatur, Georgia, and the reefs that they are now putting these in are in Florida, South Carolina, and the Chesapeake Bay.
Really?
So, yes.
That's really interesting. That is, we're going to have to talk. We have our favorite, the Green Reaper, calling in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure when
I have to
look on the schedule.
A new take on You Sleep with the Fishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Elizabeth Fournier comes in. We'll talk to her about that.
Yeah, and that's a good one.
I did read about liquefying as well, but we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, that kind of grossed me out.
Yeah. I mean, what, you throw them in a blender and...
Well, we'll talk about that the next time we have Elizabeth on.
So that's
is reeling on that one. Okay, but we'll wait.
Oh, we'll wait. I'll keep you on.
So how to repurpose our very own bodies. That's pretty good.
I'll keep you waiting with bated breath here. So how many of you were artists at home and used to do watercolor and have those ceramic palettes for watercolor paint? You can use those palettes if you're no longer painting anymore to reorganize your jewelry, to put... So, you know how you throw...
The ones with the little cubbies, the little...
They're little cups, so you can separate and easily find the jewelry you want to wear and keep things untangled. So that's one thing you can do. The other thing is a lot of people have those French presses that they tried that they may not be using for coffee anymore, where you...
Right, like single cup or, small. Yeah.
Some people have bought those and don't use them anymore because they make their coffee in a different way. So... You can take these and make teas with them.
And herbal infusions.
Herbal infusions. A couple of recipes that I found were thyme, apple, and ginger.
Really?
Lemon verbena and lemongrass is another recipe. You could just put your peppermint or mint that you have in your garden. You can just make mint tea with it. And one other one I saw was tarragon and orange peel, which sounds really lovely.
That does sound appealing. I know, so clever.
And I found an old magazine, Real Simple. Oh, those the tea infusion thing came from an old magazine I found, a Martha Stewart magazine. This one was Real Simple. It's an old magazine. I found this stack and I was going through it, and they just have the greatest ideas. Now, here's something that a lot of women would be interested in, and that is how to repurpose some of the clothes that aren't stylish anymore, or we don't like, or don't look as good on us the way they used to.
I've all closet full of those.
For instance, if you had a sundress that maybe didn't look as good on the top anymore, cut the top off and turn it into a skirt. Or vice versa, cut the skirt off and keep it as a top. You can take a fancy cocktail dress, and cut that off and make yourself a fancy top out of that.
Wouldn't people stare, though? I mean, if you're only wearing the top of your dress, your bottom of your dress?
Oh, Scotty.
This is just... This is just part of your wardrobe.
This is what
you mean there'd be more.
Doing.
If you had a boxy pantsuit, you can turn it into a very fashionable well-fitted shorts pantsuit. If you had a collared shirt where the collar maybe doesn't look so good anymore, or as the lapels are too long and out of style, you can cut it off and turn it into a banded collar blouse.
So you just have to have some really simple, basic sewing skills.
Yeah,
you don't
a lot
really
of
need
these
fancy
are
sewing skills.
A lot
They're
of
pretty
right. Some of them can be done by hand. Some of them you do need a machine, or you can take them to your tailor and have them done. If you have like a scoop-necked blouse, we all have some necklace that we don't like all by itself, but it might look really great along the edge of a scoop-necked blouse or shirt that we have.
And I've seen that more than once lately where mm-hmm. where I don't know if the person did it themselves, but you could tell this was like a piece of jewelry that was attached to a mm-hmm. shirt.
You can take a traditional cardigan and cut it off and turn it into a nice short sleeve sweater. You can take a mini skirt and make it not so mini anymore by adding some fabric on the bottom of it.
That's what I need to do.
Or the top of it, if you want. You could even, if you had a skirt that you loved that was too tight and you were putting a pattern fabric or color on the bottom, you could widen the seams by just adding that color or stripe on either side
of
it.
See, there you go. That's my answer.
You can take bootcut pants and turn them into these slim trousers that are more popular right now. You can take one of those full skirts that you have that you never wear anymore and turn it into one of those hipster bubble skirts that are very popular right now.
That's weird, yeah, bubble skirts. Yeah, this is stuff that Jessie, by the way, our
silent Jessie
here, has been doing for years.
She already does all that.
Puts it on her head, an old T-shirt.
That's why we serious.
It is actually there is a perfect sample.
Keeps
She's
her hair
got
back. Works
a
very nice.
Piece of an old T-shirt as her headband.
Matches
on
my shirt
right
yes.
now,
which I wear.
And you can see that in a photograph. I think we've posted it. Did we?
No, we will. We will.
Okay, we'll post a picture of her in the studio with her headband
that?
Made out of a T-shirt.
No, what is
so that?
What is the camera in?
Oh, well, that's in something I knitted last year. That's a whole other story.
was that supposed to be a sweater at one time? And
repurposing.
The sleeve of a sweater that never lived.
No.
Bling on it.
Well, so. You know, okay, there's a perfect example. If you just look around, there's certain things. There are old sweaters that mom or grandma made or whatever. You could cut the sleeves off, turn it into a little pocket and keep your cell phone or your flip camera or something like that in it.
Or you could knit like me. And I'm telling you, if I could knit that, a baboon could knit that.
Well, I am doing the repurposing segment right now, so I will have to do a picture of that. And
so we're going to put a whole bunch of this, as much as we can find, and link to it online, and we'll do a list of what you've just mentioned
mm-hmm.
on our website with, you know, associated to the links and resources for this show.
Which is thegreendivas.com.
And then the post for the show will have all this fun stuff on it. That was a good one, Lise. You got a ton of stuff.
I know.
And she's not ready to stop. I can tell. She wants to keep going.
Once I get going, I want to keep going.
Well, save some for next week because we need more. That's great stuff. I want to go raid my closet now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody should.
I know.
And if you're not going to keep them, take them to, you know, the Salvation Army. There's all kinds of collection points, and there's people that need that
and
stuff.
You know,
and
winter's
coming. So.
Not only when you take it to Goodwill and Salvation Army, not only does it provide clothing for people who need it, but it also provides workforce training for people who need that as well. So you really are doing more than just passing on your clothes if you take them to those kinds of programs.
And if you really want to be frugal and you're worried about, you know, taking care of yourself, get a receipt. It does count toward as a donation toward your taxes. So
let's move on and talk about, you know, I want to talk about you've done some light research.
Oh, yeah. Light bulbs again.
We're back to the light bulbs.
As we talked about last year. Yeah, well, you know what?
I know.
Everything is just popping out of the woodwork. Everybody has a good idea and they're marketing them. But as we talked about earlier or late last year, that they're taking away our incandescent light bulbs over the years because they are so energy inefficient. You know, by 2012, you won't be able to get 100-watt incandescent.
By 2012, that's pretty
next
soon.
Year.
Yes.
Stock up if you
because
want your incandescent.
Because it just really kills the it's really stressful on the grid. Well, you know, and of course we have the compact fluorescent LEDs and so on, and they're great. But a lot of people have complained about the, you know, some of them take a while to come to full brightness. Some people don't like the color. It affects the color of their decorating, you know, however they've decorated their home or whatever. Yeah, I got it. So now the VU1 or VU1 has come up with now another form of light that kind of, you know, solves that issue. And it's actually fairly energy efficient.
And what kind of light bulb is that?
Well, it's a what they're calling an electron stimulated luminescent, an ESL.
Because
everybody has to have initials.
Oh my goodness! And it doesn't have mercury in it, right?
Well, it does not.
Right. So it's not like
say that again.
Okay, well, it does not.
Can you say that again, Scott? I didn't hear
what it's called.
Electron stimulated luminescent.
Electron.
ESL.
ESL.
English as a second language.
Light bulb.
Light bulb. I'm sorry. It's just what I think.
Really?
Well, ESL.
Well, so is that how you're going to remember it? That's your little mantra?
Well, you know, I have.
But it's actually a cathode tube.
Is it?
Which, if you think back to what
we... Ray, our...
Television sets.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
And of
course,
that
means it's got gas in it?
Well... Does it have gas in it?
Yeah.
Well, it's a sealed container. It's a sealed bulb, mm-hmm. and it's actually a vacuum.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And it basically it's does two things. It's a better spectrum of light, so you don't get the hues like with LEDs. You get that blue.
Yeah.
It's, they're a little bit blue.
Is it full mm-hmm. spectrum?
Well, no. It is its own spectrum. That can't be full spectrum. It has to be white light.
White light.
Okay, but basically. One of the big things about this is all light is you know sent to us in waves. If we could look at light, break it down, you would see it is in waves. And of course, the same thing happens with the way the electrons move through any form of light. And what this is they've taken these waves and they've spread out the frequency so that even though you won't see it. To your normal viewing, the frequency has changed to the point where it's using less electricity.
Really?
Because the wavelength is the amount of time that is actually producing light is shortened.
So how does it measure up to the usage of the CFL or the LED?
Well, here and of course all new technology, everybody has a great idea. It's about the same. Mm.
Well, in terms of footprint as well?
Well, it doesn't have mercury. Okay.
That's a
big deal.
LEDs, I think the race between the View ones or the ESLs, like second language, they're coming to mind. I think the issue between the LEDs and the ESLs is going to be how much you like the light that's coming from it.
Right, of course.
Of course, there's talk about the fact that blue light disrupts sleeping patterns and can affect kids. And I mean, please.
Really?
All right.
Well, I have another thing that I was wondering about while you were talking is if it's slowing down the waves, isn't that what fluorescence did? And wasn't there an issue about fluorescence?
Well, exactly.
You know,
Well, the phosphorescence that lined the bulbs for those bulbs was a health issue. I mean, you can't throw them out. And of course, mercury is a continuing issue. These don't have that.
But wasn't there something about the fact that the light,
there was
the light wave. It was something we couldn't see through the naked eye, but it was affecting our brain waves or something.
Well, again, spectrums of light is a lot of people don't think about it. And when it comes to the science of your space, yes, the artificial light is never going to be exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to get that as close as possible. Now we could get into the science of light that we're being exposed to, but that's a lot of talk.
What about the price point? Because
issue.
Yeah.
The price is $20 a bulb.
Whoa!
Oh my gosh! But how long do they last?
Well, they're up there with LEDs.
Okay.
Okay. Now LEDs. I mean, anybody knows anything about LEDs? It's they're sealed. I mean, there's no moving parts. There's nothing to burn out in LEDs.
So they really do last.
Don't like LEDs is because they really have had a hard time being able to be omnidirectional. They're more spotlight.
Right. They have a focused.
Yeah.
They
don't have a glow.
They don't spread.
Right.
Yeah.
These do. The VU one is omnidirectional.
Spread.
It's a little more. Yeah, it's supposed to be a more pleasant light than the LED and lasts just as long.
Where can you find these lights?
They're just coming out now. I would look, and you'd have to ask at your local store.
I guess Google
to have them, and it's VU1.
VU1.
Is that the company name or the brand?
Victor Uniform Number One.
That is
the company brand. That's
VU1. Okay.
All right. Well, gosh, that was really good report.
Well,
at
I
all
always,
silly there.
There's all kinds of stuff out there.
Seriously. Well, I think what I'd like to do is do some statistics on how much you can save in different ways, whether it's money or electricity and how healthy the light is and how the footprint of the manufacturing, you know, cradle to grave, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, well, good. We'll keep up on that. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Both of those very thorough reports. We're going to go on a break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Jessica Arenella of what you can do and find out what you can do. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenade makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenade.co.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
May I give a shout out to my friends Katie and Melanie who are listening in from Maine? Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Really? Where in Maine?
What's the...
Kennebunkport?
No, the...
That place in Maine, because I tell you what, I'm
what's
having
Portland?
Withdrawal.
Portland, thank
Where's
you.
Where's the time you were
Like a month ago.
You people. I want to go to Maine.
He's mad.
Oh, I'm having withdrawals. It's been a... 2 years, I think.
Oh, that's so
not,
sad.
That's too long.
Well, thank you for listening in from Maine. I think we have Jessica Arenella on the line. Let's get her on the air. Jessica, you're on the air.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Great. We were looking forward to...
thank you.
Between
so well deserved.
Grandbabies and new radio shows since we've had you on the air.
Yes, it's very exciting.
It is. And what's going on with your show?
Oh, we've also been having wonderful things happen, which is very exciting.
Yes.
We are in the process right now of once again being on PBS affiliate WLIW.
Awesome.
Yes, and fingers, toes, everything crossed, we may be expanding to a few additional PBS affiliates.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And we are also in the process of teaming up again with the breastcancersite.com, which is a click-to-give site that provides free mammograms to women in need. And we'll be working with them for their October initiative to support breast cancer awareness.
That's excellent. I'm so excited.
What are you going to do, put me in timeout?
Yeah. Scotty's behaving poorly over here. Don't mind us. He's making noise and being a little boy.
I'm so eager to hear what you have to talk about this week.
Yes, very much on our mind has been water conservation. You know, I believe the statistic was, as of late July, a record 12% of the continental United States was in a state of exceptional drought.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I live in Texas, so I'm all about it.
Yes, it's, Texas, I believe, being the epicenter of this tragedy.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing, course. But it was just funny the way you said Texas is the epicenter.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, every year there's a drought somewhere.
I know, but Texas is always in the middle of it.
Well, it's half the
desert. That's because everything's big in Texas.
Okay, let's be quiet and let her talk. Sorry.
And also, interestingly enough, Texas is the state with the fastest growing population.
Indeed.
Yes. So, and of course, what's going on in Sonora is also horrible.
Oh, my. It's so sad.
Yes. The worst drought, I believe, that they've had in 60 years. And the resulting famine, I think, it was 30,000 children are dying a month.
A month?
Yes.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yes.
So what can we do?
Well, I
nothing.
Think the thing about water, as we all know, is that it seems like an unlimited resource.
No.
And it's not. And I believe that the EPA estimated that as of 2013, 36 of the 50 states are going to be experiencing either local, regional, or statewide water shortages.
Mm-hmm.
And the average American can use up to 100 gallons of water a day.
Without even thinking about it.
And I think that's the real crux of it. I think we don't put our attention on how much water we're using. And the thing that I have found with water, which is inspiring, is that a lot of water can sort of be effortlessly saved just by very simple changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, 8 of those gallons can be saved just by shutting off the tap while you brush your teeth morning and night.
Right.
That's what I do.
And, you know, if one person made that simple change, that would save 240 gallons of water a month. And then, of course, if you multiply that, then, you know, the numbers can be staggering. So if 100 people did it, that's 24,000 gallons. You know, if 1,000 people did it, 240,000 gallons, so on and on. So that's one very easy thing to do. Another really important thing is leaks.
Yes.
Just those little drip drips.
Little drip drips add up to 1 trillion gallons of water are lost annually in our country, which is actually the combined usage of Los Angeles, Chicago, and Miami combined.
Wow.
Yes. That's crazy. A leaky toilet alone can lose 200 gallons of water a day.
200 a day.
Yes.
Wow.
So again, that's really important to get those leaks fixed. And another thing that we was brought to our attention by one of our What You Can Do writers, which I thought was interesting because I don't think we think about it, is when you're dining out, really think about how much of that water you're using when people fill your glass.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people don't even drink water, but they'll still take the glass.
Well, I know a lot of, I mean, I have to fight with waiters when they bring glasses of water. I do not want that water.
Exactly.
Of course, what they do is they go pour it back down the drain because they can't reuse it. They're not going to give that to somebody
else. In Texas, they will not bring you water unless you ask for it.
Yeah. See, that's great. I think that would be a really wonderful if people could talk to restaurants about potentially creating that initiative. Because if 25% of restaurant guests declined that complimentary glass of water, 26 million gallons of water would be saved each year.
Yep. God, so go to your local restaurant, your local Board of Health, and ask them to ask the restaurants to stop automatically giving water to the patrons.
And tell them the statistics. That's, I mean, everybody resonates with, and when they can understand what those numbers are, they're more willing to participate.
I think so. And also, you know, just something as simple as, you know, just maybe if you have a glass of water and you don't want any more, put your napkin over it. So that a waiter couldn't automatically refill it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they do. They just, like, lurk, and suddenly they grab your glass. They're pouring.
Exactly. And they're pouring. And, of course, you know, letting the faucet run, just run and run and run, you know, I think we, especially when you're washing the dishes or you're taking a shower, I mean, it's something that we sort of do unconsciously. But it's also interesting when you apply it to energy use. For example, I found this statistic on the EPA, which is letting your faucet run for 5 minutes uses as much energy as letting a 60-watt light bulb run for 14 hours.
Whoa.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's pumping somewhere?
Well,
because, this is the energy it takes to treat that water and to heat it and to get it to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We all do this. You know, you turn on the tap for hot water and you stand there and wait for it to get hot.
Well, there's that.
Well, you know what you can do in that case? There's a couple things that I learned to do living in drought conditions. And one is I kept a bucket in the bottom of the shower and collected the water while I was waiting for it to get hot and used it to either flush a toilet or water a tree. I also turn the pressure down. It's like you don't have to have it full pressure. Turn the pressure down if you don't already have a saver anyway. That's another thing you can do.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I wash my legs, and I will shave my legs in that water that's cold before it gets hot.
There you go.
But that's so great, and those gallons really add up.
They sure do.
Well, I like, of course, you know, I brought it up a number of times, is the instant hot water systems. Yeah. If you can afford it saves so much energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll save a lot of water, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, so.
And, you know, speaking of that, you know, there's so many wonderful water-efficient appliances now available.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, I know we're in tough economic times, but if you are looking to remodel, if you are looking to do it, there's another statistic that if all U.S. households installed these water-efficient appliances, the country would save more than 3 trillion gallons of water a year and more than $18 billion.
Do you guys have, does everyone have front-load clothes washers?
Oh, that uses so much litter. I do.
I do not.
So much less water. So much.
We have nasty old, you know.
Yeah, you need to get the front load.
Yeah, front-loading washing machines are one of those water-saving appliances that we could all benefit from.
Any day now.
And it gets your clothes cleaner, too.
Does it?
Yeah, it really does.
And less water. Yay.
And less soap. You also use less soap as well.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, I need one.
Yes, you do.
Right, we'll get you one.
Hey, Jessica, talk about showers. You know, what is if you have statistics, and it sounds like you do.
I do.
On the lengths of showers and what's an optimal, you know, kind of...
Shower together.
Yeah, that's Scotty's big one. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I like that too.
Excellent option. First of all, showering is much better than taking a bath. A shower, depending on your shower head, can use approximately 10 to 25 gallons of water, while a bath is going to use about 70. And, you know, there's a really interesting experiment you can do. I think it's especially great with kids. If you have a gallon of milk and you save it, you know, at the end, and you take a stopwatch and you go into your shower, you can actually time how many gallons you're using in a minute. You know,
I'm not.
Again, you want to make sure you use that then water to water your plants or do something good with the water. But yes, if we could all use just 1 gallon less of water per shower, that means that 85 billion gallons of water would be saved a year. So that's about cutting, you know, my shower head is, it's shameful how much water comes out of that. So for us, it would probably be a little more, but that's probably about cutting about 3 to 5 minutes off of your shower, which it's not comfortable, but it's doable.
Well, I have a question when it comes to bottled water. Now,
yes.
we are consuming so much bottled water as a nation.
I think Lisa's, hold on to that thought. She's
I
got
have
a shower
one question,
question
before we I get to bottled water, first. Before the drinking water, but the water we use in showers in particular. What about the argument, like here in the Northeast, since I've been here, it's been raining.
Right.
And so people are saying, well, you know, it rains a lot here and there's a lot more water here, so it doesn't matter for me to conserve. Can you talk about that?
Well, again, I think that goes to that idea that water is an unlimited resource. Mm-hmm. I think when you're living in a drought condition, you know, it becomes much more a part of your daily life. But I don't think there's anything, I don't think there's going to be any such thing as an unlimited stream of water. Mm-hmm. So just because we're having a rainy season, I think it can be a little bit approximated to the idea when, you know, when we're having a cold day, people say there's no such thing as global warming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a cumulative effect, and as the population grows, only 1% of all of the water on the planet is usable by us. And so, again, it's a matter, I think, of changing our attention. Mm-hmm. And just like you guys, you know, we really feel that, you know, it's small steps. You know, so if that hot shower is your favorite part of the day, do not kill yourself and make your life miserable by removing it. Start with something else.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, maybe start with the dishes, you know, when you're doing the sink, you know, making sure that the water goes on and off. Or, you know, I think that that idea of sort of low pressure, like just turning on the faucet a little bit, that's such a good idea. You know, we don't think about it when you just flip on the tap to, like, full force.
Well, I just think what you're doing is so important because it is easy to forget and to get complacent because we are having such a rainy season that it's
exactly.
not in our heads all the time. So it's just important to keep getting this out in front of people and reminding us that, you know, we don't need to have our faucets running and our leaks dripping and all these things, even if we're not living in Texas.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, I have carried this. I lived in California during the drought, and so I'm already predisposed
that.
To this. And I cannot listen to water unused coming out of a
yeah,
faucet.
She gets nuts, which is good.
Crazy.
It's her thing. I'm an electricity Nazi. But, Scotty, you had something about water bottles?
Yeah, well, look at all the water that we're consuming and drinking water, you know, water bottles. What happened
yeah.
drinking out of the hose? Worked for me growing up.
Exactly.
Well,
you know,
everybody
Brita
has.
Well, you know, Brita makes a wonderful filter. You know, we're lucky that we live, New York City's got great water. And again, with something like that, another great, like, very quick 1 minute idea is, you know, instead of like letting the water run until you get cold water out of the tap, just fill a pitcher and keep it in your fridge so it can be at the temperature you'd like to have it at.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I like rain barrels.
Yeah.
Just collect rain
I
outside.
I love rain barrels.
You know, I used
yeah,
to get a kick out of.
Wonderful. If it's legal in your state, is it legal in Jersey?
I think so. Nobody complained.
Wait a minute.
Yet.
I really
used for gray water.
Oh, it never occurred to me that it was legal.
Yeah,
well, I'm not saying
we're
drinking it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never touched it. I was nowhere near it.
Back in the days when I was on patrol at 3 a.m., I used to get a kick out of these corporate areas where it would be raining and the sprinklers would be on.
Oh, I saw that the other day. So we were driving. It was pouring rain, and someone had sprinklers
on. That's frustrating. And that's another thing. When you water your lawn, make sure to do it either in the very early morning or it's sort of in the evening, because otherwise the water will evaporate before the lawn or the plants can drink it in the heat of the day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And again, I think that the exciting thing about doing things like this, and I know you guys do this too, is this idea of sort of the collective change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talked about this the last time I was on, but, you know, we were able to, with just our Facebook fans, save 2,000 gallons of water in just 5 days. So I think if we think of this, you know, we're all in this sort of alone, and it's your 1 minute in a vacuum. But when you sort of start to apply everybody's 1 minute together is when it can get really exciting.
It is exciting, and I like that you're quantifying it, because so often we talk about things, and I don't have as many of those statistics handy, and I love them because it really helps me to visualize what's happening and get excited
and
about
else.
It. Yeah. So I really love the work you're doing. I think I participated in your last
Thank you.
Save water thing, as I recall.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
Shorten my showers, I did.
Yeah. You know, and just things like that. Even if you just take 1 minute off your shower, you know, by the end of the year, that's an enormous amount of water you saved.
I think I went hairy legs for a day or two.
You don't really have to, though. You really don't.
It was winter or whatever it was.
Like Lisa was saying, you know, bring a bucket in with you, and at the end of your shower, use that water.
It's a great idea.
I think it's just about consciousness, and I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing to help our, you know, awareness to
I love the idea of measuring, you know, for measuring a gallon while you're running the shower and showing that off to the kids and showing it, you know, in a real visual, practical way.
Yeah, that's good educational tools. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to look forward to getting you scheduled again in a couple of months. Okay.
Oh, I look forward to that too.
Oh, and your show on PBS. Tell us when it is and how people can find you.
Yes, you can find us at whatyoucando365.com or we're on facebook.com/whatyoucando. And we are on PBS Affiliates 21, which is in Long Island, New York, and New Jersey. And we should be running in the fall.
Excellent. Well, we're going to keep up with you and we'll let our listeners know when that happens.
And us too. We're really big fans of yours.
Aw. Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was really loaded with information.
Water's such, I mean, people don't realize we have to have water. We can do without electricity. We really could. There's a lot of things
rough,
we can do without.
But we cannot do without water.
We can't do without water. It's necessary for life.
Mm-hmm. It is one of those necessary ingredients.
And since we're so close together, we're definitely for other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, that was good. We'll have to have her back on. So, whatyoucando365.com. We'll post that on the website, thegreendivas.com.
And our Facebook page.
Green Divas Radio Show. And by the way, we found out, because Lisa was trying to look up during the break on her phone, Green Divas Radio Show on Facebook, and she couldn't find it. And that's probably because you do need to search it by page. It is not a person. Just to be clear.
Which I still don't understand.
We're a page, not a person.
And now we do have the distinction of having facebook.com/Green Divas Radio or The Green Divas. No, I don't know. Wait a minute. Because it's new. So I'm like, wait a minute. I have to write it down. Facebook.com.
I'll just see if it looks right.
Green Divas.
Yeah. Wow, really?
Sorry.
Now, we are discovering there are other Green Divas out there. So make sure you're
a bunch of divas.
Look. You know, that you're sticking with us.
The originals. Right here.
The originals is
right.
Yeah. You guys are old.
So in so many ways.
Yeah. You know, we are booked with these feature interviews right up through October. And I just got Jeff Yeager, you know, the cheapskate guy?
Jaegermeister.
He's so funny, that guy.
That's great.
Anyway, he's going to be on in November to talk about cheap ways to be green over the holidays.
Right on.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
Days we need that.
But we have, so our schedule is on the website, thegreendivas.com. I'm just like, how many times can I say it this time? I'm having fun now. But next week, we have Randy Painter, the founder and CEO of care2.com.
Oh,
one
great.
Of our,
it's a great site.
Our awesome online partners.
Right.
And just doing some amazing work there. And I've been having fun on that site, getting active. It's kind of become this little challenge for me. How many points can I rack up, you know, being active? And then, no, because you get a certain amount of like butterfly points or whatever they call them. Right. And then you can go. As you participate. And you do kind of, you know, activities on the site, including signing petitions or commenting on someone's post. You get these little points. Then you can go and spend these points, like 300 points, to make sure someone has clean water in an area that needs clean water help.
So you can spend these points to do good things for other people.
Right. That's what Care2 is doing.
They're doing it.
Great. I just would like, you know, some other kind of points.
You don't want butterfly points because it's not masculine enough.
If you could pick what kind of points.
Hawk points or something really cool like that.
Big boy points.
Eagle points. I need my vulture points, please.
Whatever it takes.
Hummingbird points?
No. All right, a little bit further. All right. What eats butterflies?
I don't know. That's not nice.
What?
Anyway, they're not being nice. I like butterflies.
It's trying to be a game. No, but I mean, seriously now. Come
anyway.
On.
So anyway, thank you so much for listening today, for tuning in. You can go to our website, thegreendivas.com. How many times did I say it today?
Too many.
Have to get
Never
a
enough. Never
Check
enough.
In with Jessica on what you can do the TV series.
Yep. And anyway, we'll have all the links on our website for everything we had today. So if you missed something, you didn't really miss it, because you'll also get the podcast.
And you can check it out on iTunes.
Yeah. So anyway, everyone have a great green week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.